Do I need a life coach? You're listening to episode 89 with Rhiannon Bush. Welcome to the Do I Need a Life Coach podcast. We're here to discuss the ins and outs of the life coaching industry and give you tools to use to see for yourself. I'm your host, Rhiannon Bush, mother, management consultant, and a passionate, certified life coach. Well, hello, my friends. Today I'm recording from one of my favorite places in the whole world, which says a lot because I'm really, really fortunate to have traveled a lot in my 20s, all over Europe and yeah, so many other places. I've been really, really lucky, and traveling is by far one of my favorite things to do. But my constant in my life is this little corner in Tassie, the very top northeast corner of Tassie. And it's one of my absolute favorite places to visit. It's very remote, and the cell phone tower that they put in a few years ago, listen to me, cell phone tower, I've been watching too much American television, a mobile sort of transmitter, I guess it's called, they put it in a few years ago, and all of a sudden we got phone reception if we were on the Telstra network, and I really disliked it because I was like, I really enjoyed going to the shack and putting my phone away. I didn't even have to put my phone away. It just didn't work. And I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Now I'm a mum with two kids. I like that connectivity. You know, if something happens, you know, my daughter was bitten by a jack jumper this trip. And I just was so paranoid about her reacting in a way that I wasn't prepared for, or if I couldn't get help because it is so remote. So having the towel there is really, really great. But it wasn't working. So I went there knowing that I would have to do some things this weekend, recording this podcast being one of them, and there was no reception. So yeah, it's amazing how much I've come to rely on technology. But the weather has been awesome, and I got to go and swim at my favorite little beach. It's called White's Beach, and you've got to wait for special wind conditions to actually be able to get there and for it not to be blowing. And it's just a beach I feel really safe swimming in by myself, and I got to have some me time, and oh, it was divine. It was absolutely divine. So yeah, I hope you're having as much fun this week as I've had, and I hope you are really enjoying yourself. Today, I want to talk about hurt people, because it's a topic that I've seen many of my clients struggle with. I myself have struggled with it, and I want to give you some strategies today around being able to maybe diffuse it a little bit for yourself. So, you know, it can be an easy thing to think that things happen to us, not for us or with us. And in my younger years, I was definitely a bit of a victim around adversity and things that were going on in my life, you know, what was happening to me. And, you know, now I reflect on it with interest. I was watching a Netflix series called One Day, brilliant show, highly recommend it, and I won't tell you anything more about it. But there was something about one of the characters in that show that my younger self strongly resonated with. And there was this real sense of victim and poor me, and I can never get things right, and I'm not worthy of that, and I'm not good enough, and you know, whatever that thing was. And while some people have that negativity in them more often and strongly than others, I think one of the things we as a society don't talk about is that every single one of us have it to a degree. Every one of us has this fear and self-doubt and negative self-talk. And it's not about having the self-talk that is the key thing to consider. It's what you do with it afterwards, and it's how you manage it and what you can do to either diffuse it or distract yourself or work through it that creates the results in your life and your overall success and happiness and fulfillment in life that you want, however it is that you choose to look at that and define it. And this negative self-talk will most likely appear in every area of your life at various times, depending on what you want out of your life at that point in time and what matters to you in that moment. And it may be about your career or your relationship, your personal growth, your finances, your friendships. There could be a whole different range of things that it relates to. And clients I've coached over the years have wanted help in all of these areas, but there's always an underpinning root cause that keeps them stuck and keeps them returning to the negativity and seeing how that negativity keeps showing up in their lives. And one of the key questions to consider is, what's the lesson here? What's the gift here? Remembering that this is not happening to you, it's happening for you. So what's the lesson that you need to learn? What can I learn from this, or why does this keep happening? What do I need to understand or change maybe to get a different result and to not have it keep recurring? Another key thing I've learned from coaching the clients I've coached is that there's this pattern of thought. You know, think of it like a change curve. If you're a change manager or you know anything about change and how people deal with change, the different phases that they go through, you know, everybody goes through change curves and then they start to heal past events and trauma. And the first is that they'll process the trauma. They'll work with me to speak about what they've experienced and process the emotional intensity that surrounds it. Or often if they're divulging it for the first time ever, and I experience this so often with male clients that I was coaching, the amount of abuse that happens to men in younger years is just horrific. And I have coached many men who have turned around and told me things that they've never told their wives, they've never told their partners, or the people closest to them, even their families, because of the shame associated with it. But it is absolutely horrendous. And often when they first verbalize it, there's a shock factor. It's like, oh gosh, now I've said it, it's real. And then the emotional intensity actually increases. After that emotional intensity increases and we can then actually start to process that and work through it, the next step is that they'll move from that stuck state where all their walls have been up and they've been refusing to actually acknowledge it. And then when they do acknowledge it, that emotional intensity increases and they move into hurt or anger. One of them will be first, and then eventually the other will kick in. They're very, very affiliated in our brains neurologically. Negative emotion and anger and hurt, they are very, very linked. And sadness and guilt, all of those are linked in together. So you'll feel one and then you'll feel the next, and then you'll feel the next. And you can't process them until you feel them. You can't actually work through the emotion until you have an experience of it. And so when that anger bursts through at whatever stage that is, or the sadness, the fear, the shame, the guilt, then the questions will come around, why? Why did this happen to me? Why did those people do that to me? What was it about me? Why did it happen? And once that occurs, the next stage of growth is releasing it and reconciling that there are things within our control and there are things outside of our control, and making peace with that. And once we've made peace with that and we get to a place where we feel okay enough about what happened, or even if we don't feel okay about it, we get to a place of acceptance, then we can find a way to forgive. And most of the time, the forgiveness actually sits with ourselves. We carry it. And one of the later stages, when, you know, there's been significant healing and a lot of that past emotion and trauma has been moved through, one of the questions that often comes up is, why haven't I been able to solve this and move on from this by myself? And until that question's answered, it's difficult for any of us to truly let go and to truly move on and to truly, you know, be the phoenix rising from the ashes. If what life coaching philosophy is built on, which is that every client has everything they need to heal and live the exact life that they desire right now as they are, they don't need fixing, then this question is a significant one. Because it creates a gateway for clients to go back into that negative place where they criticize and sabotage their results and their progress to stay stuck where they are. Thank you, Animal Brain and Comfort Zone. But answering that question for yourself, why couldn't I work through this on my own? That is a really important question to answer as best you can for closure and to be able to implement long-term behavioral and sustainable change. I was coaching a client recently who was going through an extremely difficult time in terms of processing some trauma that they experienced when they were young. And it was evident that this question, you know, why did this happen to me, was the thing that was preventing growth and forward momentum. And especially when you're dealing with childhood trauma, it's more difficult to answer that question because all children are worthy. They're born worthy. They are pure and beautiful and innocent. Children have all the hope and life ahead of them, and they symbolize that purity for everybody because the world hasn't had a chance to impart anything on them yet or condition them or taint them. And if you ever get to hold a baby or see a baby, you can feel that energy and you can feel that purity in those years that, you know, they just glow when they're young. They just glow. They have a light. And, you know, side note, that's why there's this code in prison. You know, there's a reason that amongst prisoners, if you hurt children and, you know, you're usually then kept isolated because you are in danger from other inmates. There's a code even amongst the worst criminals. You know, you do not hurt children. So if you were hurt as a child, it's only through processing those emotions and reaching a place of being able to accept that, you know, in fact, it wasn't about you, that, you know, it doesn't make it okay. It doesn't mean it's not incredibly hurtful and wrong and awful. But getting into that place creates a space for you to forgive yourself and to realize that it wasn't anything that you did or didn't do. Childhood trauma comes up in most of my coaching conversations, and it's intense, and it's a different ball game than just somebody, you know, treating you with a lack of respect or being mean or boss or whatever, you know, the things we tend to focus on in our adult lives that are causing us grief. Actually, a lot of that stems from childhood. And when someone treats you badly, being able to ask, oh, what is that about, gives you a level of detachment enough to look at somebody else and ask. From that perspective, you can more easily access compassion around what it is they're going through, because at that stage, it's not about you anymore. You're no longer at the center of it. Often you can only get here if you've processed your own emotions around it enough to be able to detach in the first place. Sometimes you may not get an answer because sometimes you may choose not to ask the question. And sometimes that means there's just a story we're telling ourselves about it, an assumption that we're making. And if whatever story you tell yourself about it and choose to assume is true for the other person, provided it feels better for you and you can find empowerment from it, then, you know, can that really be a bad thing? Provided you don't go spreading stories or slandering people, which is again about you, and that's not at all what I mean. But I mean telling yourself something about their circumstance and about that person's events and emotions, you know, that they've been subjected to, which makes them like they are. If you believe there's a basis of truth in it, and intuition is a big, big part in this, if that leads you to a place of compassion and therefore healing and therefore holding space for them, is that a good thing? A great girlfriend of mine has two beautiful children, and the way she mothers and her mothering style is just incredible. I feel so lucky to know her and have her as a good friend of mine, because the way that she mothers is the way that I really hope to mother. Absolutely. She's just incredible. And one of the things that she's done, because her children are a little bit older than mine, I think it's outstanding that if her kids have suffered from the hands of somebody else, they've been bullied or they've been hip and shouldered, or they've had negative comments thrown their way that are really underhand and completely just ridiculous in an adult land, but kids can be quite cruel. She will always talk them through it in a way that's, you know, what do you think is going on for that other person? What do you think they are experiencing? And that puts the responsibility and the ownership of that person's behavior directly back on that person. And when you can do that, when you can come from a place of empathy, while it doesn't excuse the behavior, and it certainly doesn't mean that others have the right to treat you badly, it stops making it mean anything about you. And this is really important, because any negative self-talk you have, which we all have to an extent, is extinguished in that moment. Instead of being inflamed or entertained, you stop yourself going down this road of, oh, well, if they did that, maybe it's because this happened, and maybe because I behaved like that back 2 years ago, then maybe it stops. It completely stops it right there. It makes you the unimportant bystander instead of a victim. And if you play those two roles out in your mind, you need to be really clear as to which one you'd prefer to be, because you can use it as a victim story if you choose to, Or you can choose to live an empowered life and be that unimportant bystander that actually had nothing to do with what that person was trying to get at. It's a beautiful lesson to learn, especially early, because on the flip side of that, when we take on people's feedback and we make it mean something about us, not only do we let that penetrate our self-talk, which impacts our energy and our confidence, how we show up in the world as a human being, and the value that we bring, it impacts our authentic happiness and also the way that we want to be within ourselves, which is often if we are that kind of a person where we want to feel empowered and feel great about ourselves, we often can give that to others and we can hold space for others who may not feel as strong as we do in that moment. It stops our ability to do that when we make the story about us. Our energy passes along to others. We have thoughts about things, and from that we create whatever feelings we have about those thoughts, i.e. not feeling worthy or valuable or lovable, whatever else it might mean. And then we transfer that onto other people because emotions flow. I read a book recently and it said something like, there's something happens to a crowd of people who are all out together in a relaxing environment, listening to music, having a drink and some food together. And honestly, it summed up my 20s. Recently, I've been questioning a lot about what I did in my 20s. You know, a lot of the time I'm so grateful because I had such an amazing time. I lived with a really full heart in my 20s. I followed it and I tried different things and I explored what I wanted out of life. And I always loved going out socializing for meals and drinks and going dancing. And it's true. There really is an energy that people who are out having a good time together and wanting to be around one another that is infectious and alive. It buzzes. If you go down Church Street or Swan Street in Richmond before a football game on a Friday night, that street buzzes. The cafes are full, the restaurants are full, everyone's about to go to the G to watch a game, and the whole street is just alive. When you're in that camp, it's awesome. But when you're in a negative space and negativity is either transferred onto others or worse if it isn't, then that can be really detrimental to your health and well-being. It's like you can be in a whole crowd of people and still feel completely alone. And when you're in that space, that's something that you need to pay attention to and get help for. Over time, it can become this ongoing cycle of negative self-talk when actually the way somebody else might be treating you, it has nothing to do with you. And I'm telling you this just to raise your awareness. When it comes to making it about somebody else, know a few things. The first is that it doesn't discount the way you feel, and it doesn't discount that you are allowed to feel angry and hurt and upset by whatever it is. Even when you can make it mean nothing about you, your feelings are still valid and it is still okay to feel whatever you feel about it. The second thing is to understand that you don't have to put up with being treated like that. So whether you choose to talk it through, whether you choose to journal about it, bottle it up, talk to somebody completely unrelated like a life coach, as long as you're able to get it out of your mind and your body somehow and process how you feel and the emotions you have, that's the most important part. Process those feelings. Only then can you begin to see that it's not about you at all. And from there, eventually you'll be able to let it go. The third thing is that you might need to do something stronger. You might need to exit a friendship group or find another job or join a self-defense course, hire a life coach. Sometimes you might need to take that extra step and feel the need to hold somebody else accountable or verbally have it out with someone just to process the way that you were treated and highlight the fact that you're not maybe okay and you need validation, and that's okay. You might need to confront the person and explain that you feel that you're not in a good spot, and therefore them treating you like that and the way that that is impacting you, that they need to maybe take some ownership for that if they feel that it's acceptable to treat you the way that they're treating you. You may also be able to take it that extra step and see that maybe they're not in a good spot and have that conversation with them. Often treating others badly is systematic. Hurt people, hurt people. And at the end of the day, the most important thing is that you know that you are content with who you are, how you behave, and what you stand for. that you are worthy and that you have the strength to live the life that way that you choose, and that people will treat you well when you are completely your authentic self, and that you are owning your actions and your behavior, and others need to do the same. Process those feelings and really pay attention to the fact that other people's behavior very rarely means anything about you. And I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for joining me on this insightful journey today. If you've resonated with what we've discussed and feel inspired to make positive changes in your life, I'm here to support you. Remember, your transformation begins with a single step. If you're ready to take that step and explore the possibilities of working with a life coach, visit my website at www.rhiannonbush.com. There, you'll find more information about my coaching programs and how we can collaborate to achieve your goals. Your journey to a more fulfilling life starts now, so reach out today and let's create the life you dream about. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.